and amen. We have already considered the opening verses here of this 37th chapter of the book of the Psalms. And God has shown us the things that he requires of us. As we look around us and we see the prosperity of the evil one, we have already mentioned that in verse number 3 it tells us that we are to trust in the Lord and do good. In other words, we're to have confidence in the Lord, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and truly thou shalt be fed. And then in verse number 4, we're not only to be confident in the Lord, we're to be cheerful in the Lord. It says, delight thyself also in him, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And then, of course, last Lord's Day morning, we noticed in verse number 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and therefore we're to be committed to the Lord. And how it's important that we are committed to him, and we commit our every day. And the word commit there is to roll, rolling a heavy burden from one to another. And we confess that we know that the burden of life at times, it's far too heavy for us to carry. And it says here in verse number 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. And that, you know, thy way, it leads to a destination. And of course, reality, it means every detail of your life. Commit every detail, not only some of the things, but every detail of your life when you're passing through this journey. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And when you rise in the morning, we know not what the way lies before us, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, thank God, I'll come forth as gold, because I commit my way unto the Lord. And how important that is, that we commit our way unto the Lord. Sometimes we look at life's experiences, and we notice this last Lord's Day, it seems to be there's no way through. Remember the children of Israel, they came to the sea, and there was a mountain there, and they were behind them, and there were the enemy behind them. There was mountains on every side. There was a sea in front of them. What were they going to do? And humanly speaking, there was no way, but God made a way. Thank God, God stacked the waters. God made a way through. Sometimes we have got this feeling that there is no way. We're not going to make it. We're somehow going to drown in the circumstances and the trials of life. We're not going to be able to cross this angry water that we are facing. But thank God, God will make a way. We've got to commit our way unto the Lord. Commit your life completely unto the Lord. We noticed Abram did that. We noticed that Joseph did that. We noticed Job did that. Notice that Daniel did that. Peter did that. And God provided a way. Friend, let me tell you this. Daniel's no different than you. You know, the Bible tells us concerning Elijah, he was a man just like you and me. And he prayed, and God answered his prayer. My friend, you are a child of God, the same as Elijah. You're a child of God, the same as Peter. You're a child of God, the same as Daniel. You know, God made a way for him. Well, can God not do it for you? Why don't you commit your way onto the Lord? Instead of trying to carry that heavy burden that's pressing upon you, and it's breaking your courage and breaking your heart and by quite often breaking your will, just commit your way onto the Lord. Because God will accomplish all that faith will lay upon him. God will accomplish all that faith will lay upon him. And you lay that before the Lord and roll that burden upon the Lord and commit your way. That's what the Word of God says. Commit your way unto the Lord and trust also in him. You've got to, you know, that's not just telling the Lord about your situation, but you've got to, you know, you've got to have confidence that God's able to make a way, that God is able to bring you through, that God will see you through. Now, not only will God accomplish all that faith lays upon him, but notice the latter part of that same verse, verse number 5, it says, and he shall bring it to pass. And then it says this, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And not only will God accomplish all that faith lays upon him, but thank God, our faith and our trust in him, and our committing our way unto God, thank God he will achieve our betterment. You leave it all with him. It says, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. You say to me, but preacher, there's only some things I could really bring to the Lord, you know. There are things, you know, people misunderstand me. And I'm trying and seeking to serve the Lord, and people seem to take it wrong, and people seem to misunderstand. Let me tell you, my friend, you leave all your way unto the Lord. And you know, the Lord will vindicate his people. That's what verse 6 says. God will vindicate his people. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Even the matter of personal reputation, friend, you and I should be content and be quiet to leave it with the judge of all the earth, because he has promised, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Let me make this abundantly clear, child of God, what you and I need to do. You and I need to look to his honor. You and I don't need to worry about our honor. You and I need to look to the honor of the Lord, to honor the Lord in everything. Whatever we do, do to the glory of God. Be sure that you live your life to the glory of the Lord and have committed your way completely to him, and you're delighting in him and you're trusting in him. And my, you're doing what he says here in your precious word. And instead of you getting worked up about people misunderstanding you, and maybe they just don't understand what you're trying to do, if you as a child of God look to his honor, listen carefully, he will see to yours. He'll see to yours. You see to the Lord, and I want to tell you this, you put the Lord first. You put the honor of the Lord first in your life, and I want to tell you this, there's a promise in the Word of God, and I remember as a young lad, just as a young student, in my early days in the gospel open air, where there was we were attacked in Newcastle, and I remember sitting outside a courtroom, and a man screwing down the window of a lorry, and shouting out, I don't know who he was, I've never met him again, and he said these words, he said, remember, young lad, McCrae, him that honoreth me, him will I honor. Him that honoreth me, him will I honor. You honor the Lord today as you go into that courtroom. And you leave your honor to him. You just leave your reputation. You leave it in his hand. You know, when we work and we walk in the instruction of the Holy Spirit of God, friend, and we do what the Word of God requires of us to do, we shouldn't get ourselves all worked up what others think about us. Now, it is important that we do not walk carelessly. We are going to have to walk in accordance to God's Word. You know, the Bible says that if we suffer as a Christian, you know, there's a blessing of the Lord if we suffer as a Christian. You know, if we suffer for unrighteousness, then we shouldn't glory in that. If we suffer because we have done wrong, we shouldn't be glorying in that. But if we suffer because of our relationship with Jesus Christ and our walking in accordance to his will, and we walk in accordance to the scriptures and in the instruction of the Spirit of God, and we walk and we work in the guidance of the Holy Ghost, then we leave everything unto the Lord. We don't worry what others think about us. God will take care of us, and God will take care of our enemies. That's what it says. If you commit your way unto the Lord, you trust in him, he shall bring it to pass, and God shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Of course, that doesn't mean that we'll be perfect, but God will bring us forth. You know, there's a sharp contrast between what men think of us and what God knows about us, because God's judgment is always fair. It's always just. I was thinking about this. You know, it says, where God says, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, thy judgment as the day. Remember Job? You know, Job was a misunderstood person. And yet whenever God first mentioned Job, God said, my servant Job. And God said he was an upright man. God could trust Job. And yet whenever you read about his friends, whenever Job went into a valley of great sorrow and great trouble in his life, there were those that, my friend, I'll tell you this, they thought that Job was a hypocrite. They said that he was getting judged whenever tragedy came into his family. He was being judged because of his wrongdoing, because he was not right with God, because of his pride, because of all of these things. And I'll tell you this, Job was misunderstood. God said, he's my servant. And his friends thought he was a hypocrite and that his misery was because of secret sins in Job's life. Then I turn to Job 42, and it says here in verse number 7 of Job chapter 42, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Verse number 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. God gave Job the grace to pray for his friends who misunderstood him, friend. He put his life into God's hand. He left his reputation in the hands of the Lord. He knew that God would fulfill his promise and that God would bring forth his righteousness as the light and his judgment as the noonday. Remember John the Baptist? What did they think about John the Baptist? You remember over there in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, it says this concerning John. Luke chapter 7, verse number 33. It says there, for John the Baptist came neither eating and drinking, or eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye said, he hath a devil. Man, that's what they thought about him. God's servant John the Baptist. The Bible says there was not a prophet like him. He was a man after God's own heart. He prepared the way of the Lord. And yet it says in the scriptures, as far as those that looked upon him, they said, he hath a devil. In the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, and in verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them which are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding that he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And yet the crowd said, he hath a devil. What had John got to do? He had got to leave himself in the hands of the Lord. He had to commit his way unto the Lord. And when he did that, my friends, God would bring forth his righteousness as the light, and God did. And his judgment as the noonday, and God did. God vindicated his child. Maybe people misunderstand you today, because you're out and out for God. You're wanting to serve the Lord with all your heart. Friend, people misunderstand you. People misjudge you. They say all things against you falsely. Let me tell you, you leave that with the Lord. You look to the honor of the Lord. You leave your honor with him. God has promised. God has promised to see you through. God will set the record straight. And I'll tell you, man may drag the child of God into the gutter. Man may try to destroy the reputation of the child of God. But I'll tell you this, God will come forth to the witness stand. And God will witness for his child. God did that. He did it for Job. Job gave Job grace because he was able to overrule the judgment of man. And it says this, when you commit your way unto the Lord, you trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Now let's take a step further. Let's go to verse 7 now. We have talked about the first step, and that is confidence in the Lord and cheerful in the Lord and committed to the Lord. Now look at verse number 7. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. He goes back He goes back to this fretting again. He says, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And here's the next part of the instruction, friend. You find your consolation in the Lord. You find your consolation. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And once again, the Holy Spirit of God emphasizes where we're to find our rest and our consolation. Notice it says, rest in the Lord. All of these things, trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And it says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Now, of course, whenever they were fretting, they weren't resting. But what God wants us to do is, God wants his children just to return unto our rest. Get back to the place of rest. Is there somebody here in God's house this morning, maybe situations of life as, you know, you've been so anxious, maybe this past week. You've been overcome with anxiety, maybe you've been worried. You know what the Lord says to you? He says, rest in the Lord. Find your consolation in him. Find your comfort in him. Have you gone away from the place of tranquility? You know, it's a foolish thing to leave our rest, isn't it? Why do we leave the place of rest? Well, we do that, of course. At times, we leave the place of communion with God. And maybe there's someone and you've lost out with the Lord, friend. You've lost out with God. You're not in the place of communion. You've left your rest. You're not in the place of fellowship. Maybe unbelief has come into your heart, and maybe disobedience come into your life, and you've left your place of rest. What's the Spirit of God say? Psalm 116 and verse number 7. It says there, return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. You need to get back to the place of rest. You need to get back. And if you're not saved, you need to get to the place of rest in Christ. Rest your soul upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is no rest, saith my God, unto the wicked. If you're not saved today, you haven't a place of rest. You haven't a place of consolation and comfort, because the anger of God is against you. The Word of God tells us that if we believe not, we are condemned already. We're under the condemnation of the Lord. Friend, let me tell you, maybe you're resting upon a false hope. Maybe you're resting in some false idol in your life, and you think that somehow that you'll get by as a sinner when others won't. I want to tell you, there is no rest, saith my God, to the wicked. But those who are saved, thank God, we can rest in Christ. That's what the Word of God says. Rest in the Lord. And we're told, rest, return unto the rest. Oh, my soul. Oh, friend, you must do it. There is a rest for the people of God. There is. You don't need to be overcome with anxiety. Say, well, what have I got to do? I've got to rest in the Lord, friend. I have to find my consolation in the Lord. Over there in the book of Exodus chapter 33, do you remember what the Lord said to Moses when he was going through facing a situation in life? And that's what he said. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. He says, I'll give thee rest. When you have the Lord with you, friend, thank God you can find rest. My presence shall go with thee. And when you go out into a new day, God's presence is with us. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence. But my friend, God says, my presence shall go with thee. You don't face whatever you have to face this week. You don't face it alone. The person who's mourning doesn't have to face their mourning alone. The person who's sick does not have to face that sickness alone. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I'll give you rest. But let me tell you, we need physical rest. There are times we get exhausted. You ever got that way? And you just seem to you can't take a step further. You're just physically drained. Well, I read in Psalm number 4. Psalm 4, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I can lay my head upon the pillow in peace and sleep. But friend, let me tell you this. The old devil will try to take away that physical rest. Because he knows when you're physically exhausted, then you're open for the not only physical anxiety, but you're also open to mental anxiety. Because not only do you need physical rest, you need mental rest. Devil ever attacked your mind? Devil ever come and told you, listen, you know, you're only fooling yourself. You're just only in a daydream here because God's not with you. And he attacks your mind, friend, and he disturbs your comfort and he disturbs your peace. And you can't sleep the same way. Listen, we need physical rest. We need mental rest. We need soul rest. And that's what Jesus said. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I'll give you rest. Rest of soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, though sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well. It is well with thy soul. And what the psalmist is saying here is this one. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He said, listen, child of God, God doesn't forget his people. Wait patiently for him. You're not forgotten. You ever feel that, you know, somehow that nobody knows you're there? Just seems as if that you're forgotten. You know, the word rest, see that word? What does it mean? The word rest means to be silent to God. To be silent to God. You say, what does that mean? To be silent to God. It's the opposite, of course, to murmuring. It's the opposite to complaining. Have you ever complained to God, friend? God, where are you? God, why are you doing this? Why are you allowing these circumstances into my life? The ungodly person is full of fears. The ungodly person, their minds are full of doubts and their mouth is full of distrust. But the child of God ought not to be that way. We need to be silent to God. In other words, get your eyes off you. Get your eyes off them, whoever the them is. And get your eyes upon the Lord. It says, rest in the Lord. Lean upon him. Lean upon him. It's not your much talking, friend. Listen, be silent to God. Lean with all your wit on him. And I'll give very quickly. First of all, friend, lean on God's wisdom. In the book of Romans, chapter 11, and the verse number 33, it says this. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. Listen, friend. God knows what he's doing. And what God is doing in your life and what God's doing in my life, friends, let me tell you. God's doing the best. He knoweth the best. And what you and I have to do is this. We have to rest in the Lord. We put our minds at ease, knowing that what God is doing in my life, God is working all things together for good. Because I love the Lord. Is that not something that you could rest on today? God's not making a mistake. Listen. The wisdom. Rest on the wisdom of God. And I'll tell you, when you do that, you let the peace of God flood your heart. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Listen, be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lean upon the wisdom of God. Preacher, my life. Yes, friend, your life. God knows what he's doing. And the pathway that God's leading. Listen, if you're walking in obedience to him, and you're walking in the center of God's will, friend, let me tell you, God has nothing but the best you. Now that doesn't mean that the road will be easy. And that doesn't mean that there'll be no thorns along the way. But it does mean that what God's doing in your life, lean upon the wisdom of God. Let God work. He worketh all together for good to them that love of God. Not only lean upon his wisdom, lean upon his word. And that's why we need to be people of the book. For the psalm says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The grass withereth, the flower faileth, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. The word of the Lord liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, 23 says. Then let me tell you, why you lean upon the word of God? Why you rest in the Lord? Because God cannot break his word. God has entered into a covenant with his people. And God cannot lie. And you rest your soul upon his sure word. I'll never be alone. I'll never be alone. For he has said, lo, I'm with you always. Do you believe him? When the storms of life are raging, friend. Whenever there's uncertainty, perhaps, in the maybe employment or uncertainty about what's about tomorrow. Do you think God's going to break his word to you, says child, what he has promised? He says, I will never leave thee, never forsake thee. You rest upon the wisdom of God, you rest upon the word of God, and then you rest upon the work of God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 12, it says, this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. He rested. Why? Because he finished the work. And you know, the work of Christ was in contrast, of course, to the work of the priests in the tabernacle. Because they could never sit down. There was never a stool for them to sit down. Why? Because their work was never done. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, it says he sat down on the right hand of God. For praise God, our great high priest finished it all. We were looking in the book of Ezra this morning in the Bible class. And I know it blessed my soul as I thought about the foundation of the temple. And they set the foundation. and how important it was that the foundation was right. And then, of course, not only was the foundation of it, but there was the finishing of it. Because they built the temple on the foundation. And then there was the furnishing of it. And the Bible records for us, and I was looking with the Bible class this morning, how that, you know, so many knives, so many basins, so many things. And it numbers them all. Number them all. And you remember, these are the vessels that were taken down at the captivity, taken down into Babylon. You know what God did? He preserved them there. And he numbered them. And they were all brought safely back. God preserved them for his house. You know, God's going to preserve you and me to the day of redemption. Thank God I can rest my soul. And then it says this as we finish. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. See, the Lord knows you and me. And he couldn't only say, wait. But he knows that that's a hard thing to do. So the Holy Ghost put in the next word. Wait patiently for him. Your times, you know, rather than sitting about, you want to be doing something. You think, I've got to be doing something. There's got to be activity. We're in an endless cycle of just going from one thing to another. The Word of God says, listen, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I want to leave this with you and you can study it the rest of yourself. Listen, if you wait on the Lord, friend, in other words, stay God's time. Don't try to run ahead of him. Don't try to do what Abram tried to do. He tried to take it into his own hands and get him a son. Because God didn't seem to be fulfilling the promise in his time. And he brought trouble to his heart. And he brought trouble to his home. But the Word of God says we're to stay God's time. We're to tarry God's leisure. You know, when God's making you wait, friend, there's a purpose for it. Yeah, but I want to get at it. Well, true, maybe you can. And you got at it and you'd make a mess of it. So just wait. And I tell you, I find even in the work of God, there are people, and they just will not wait. And there are many of God's people, no matter how many times you say to them, wait on the Lord, they think that somehow they should be doing something. Or they're not fulfilling the Word of God. I want to tell you, when God says wait, friend, you're fulfilling the Word of God. When God says wait, he didn't say move. He says wait. Can you not understand what I'm saying to you? Says the Lord. You wait God's leisure. You wait God's time. Don't you try to push the path that you want. And I'll tell you, when you wait on God, he'll strengthen you. Psalm 27 verse 14. And says there, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Are you willing to do that? Well, if you want to walk God's way, friend, you will. You'll want to do it. If you wait on the Lord, not only will he strengthen you, thank God you wait on the Lord, he'll hear you. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. If you wait on the Lord, not only will he strengthen you, not only will he hear you, Let me tell you, he'll exalt you. Psalm 37, verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off. Thou shalt see. And then if you wait on the Lord, friend, he'll show you his goodness. Because thank God, his mercies are new every morning. Lamentation 3, verse 22 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Then verse 25 says this, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Now there are those that wait, but they don't wait patiently. Restless. Are you restless? You're not waiting patiently. You know, some people, when they're forced to wait, they become angry, they become fearful, they become miserable, they become agitated. They're not waiting patiently. You know, the psalmist, the Spirit of God went back to the problem. Because there was something agitating him. There was a thorn. And it troubled him. The prosperity of the wicked. And God says, you wait. There's a problem hurting here. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Spurgeon said, the ground for grief is that the ungodly appear to achieve their end. The reason for comfort is that our end shall be achieved also, and that in the best manner, by God himself. He achieves the end. And then he says this, and with this I close verse 8, cease from anger. You know, that's sin. Cease from anger. You see, the Bible says we can be angry and sin not. But here is a fretfulness, and we get an anger in our hearts. And try to be honest. It makes us discontent. It makes us ungrateful. It makes us angry. It makes us bitter. And you know what we do? Because all we can see is the prosperity of the wicked. And we say, I haven't got it. Then I'll tell you, you have something that the wicked haven't got. You're undervaluing what God has given you, an inner prosperity. And thank God the resources that God has given you will never, never be exhausted. You'll never go bankrupt in the resources of God. But even the prosperity of the wicked can go bankrupt. But praise God, wait patiently for him. Cease from anger. He says, forsake wrath. In other words, repent of it. Watch your temper. Discipline your passions. It says, forsake it. Your wrath against the wicked, friend. That's not godly. That's not honoring the Lord. That's not glorifying the Lord. You think that God somehow is making a mistake in all of this? Letting them get away with it? You know better than God? This is the pathway to victory, friend. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Please, God, help me to live this to the glory of thy name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word this morning, and we pray that you'll continue to guide us as we continue to study thy word. Help us, Lord, to find thy word a rich blessing to our soul. And Lord, when we can't see the way through, we thank thee that you'll make a way through. But we've got to be willing to wait, and we've got to be willing to rest, and to commit our way and delight ourselves in thee, the Lord, and trust also in thee. And Lord, you'll bring it to pass. You'll bring us through. And even though we're misunderstood, Lord, we can put that into your hands. Thy way, O Lord, not mine. Thy will be done, not mine. Teach me thy way, lest I might stray. Thy will be done. Heavenly Father, for those that have no rest in their soul, those that are without Christ, without hope, on their way to hell, please, my God, disturb them. Disturb them in their soul. Show them there is no answer but Jesus. There is no hiding place but Christ. Bring them to Christ, Jesus, the Lord. For we pray in Jesus' precious name.